You're about to hear the Sunday sermon from the Grapevine Church of Christ in Grapevine, Texas, a family who's devoted to giving our lives to and living our lives for Jesus Christ. If you have any questions about today's lesson, visit us on our website, www.grapevinechurch.com. Thanks for listening.
Good morning. Man, you know, it is a beautiful day. You know, for some of our kids, today, again, is Barefoot Sunday, so I'm glad to see they can be free to wear shoes or not. It's great. I've been feeling this morning as I've just been preparing my mind for what we're going to be talking about today. I just have this urge, and maybe it's the Spirit, maybe it's not. But I have the urge to just say, if you have come here today burdened down by something, if there's something you're holding on to, I don't know what it is. I'm just going to ask you, you know, and typically we say, put everything away and then listen to the sermon. Today, I want you just to hold on to that. I want you to put it in your pocket, and I want you to be very aware of what it is you're holding on to today. I don't know why I didn't plan to say that, but I'm going to ask you to be very aware of whatever it is you're holding on to. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the beautiful weather. Lord, thank you for the air in our lungs. Thank you for allowing us the ability to be able to see smiles on other people's faces, even though it may not be on ours. Lord, thank you for giving us people who love us, who are concerned about us, and thank you for giving us a family that we can call our own in this very room. Thank you for the ability, Lord, that we have technology and we can be showing this online to people who aren't able to be here. Lord, your family is big, and we are grateful to be a part of it. Thank you. Speak through me, help us to hear, and I pray that you would show up today. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to read this as we begin today. And this is the boldness we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have obtained the requests made of him. So last week, I prayed for God to show up in our service. We prayed at the very beginning. We prayed it in the weeks leading up to last week, Barefoot Sunday. And I tell you, he did. He was here. It was an amazing thing, wasn't it? If you weren't here, I'm sorry, but you really missed something good. It was a good Sunday. But I want to just take a moment to say thank you. Barefoot Sunday was something we had been talking about for a while, and it's something that I think you guys really came through on, and it was a wonderful experience. All in all, we collected over 800 pair of shoes last Sunday. This is when people were just giving out there in the foyer. We had some that showed up towards the very end. Even throughout the week, people kept bringing some by. And so thank you for that. Over 800 pair of shoes. God is good here. And these aren't just shoes that were in the closet, that were just leftovers. I mean, some of these were really good shoes. Really good shoes. What's funny is that, you know, some of these are going to be taken to Main Street and then some to Nicaragua. We had, I think, maybe 35, 36 boxes in total. But what I thought was so great was how engaged you all were. In fact, there are some of you who did not, maybe you didn't remember, but I heard stories about people, you know, giving the shoes that they came in, that they came in with, and they had not intended to do that. And it was one of those moments where they said, well, I guess I'll do it. And I tell you, those are some pretty good shoes that someone's going to get to wear. So thank you for that. We had visitors who came, and they saw what was going on, and some visitors did not expect to leave barefoot, but they did. How cool is that? You know, there's one story where there was, it's pretty funny. There was a child who was having a really hard time getting rid of his shoes. But his parents were walking him down the whole time. And what I think is interesting is that I'm like that. Sometimes we need somebody to encourage us to let go of our stuff. But he did it, And it was a really sweet moment. Sometimes moments to give are spontaneous, aren't they? You may not necessarily have planned to give, but the opportunity presents itself. What I think is great also about that day is that there was a sense of unity here. People were focused on one thing, and that was others. Focused on giving something away. In that moment, when we are focused on something together, what I think is beautiful is that our commonality, it drowns out everything that is different about us, doesn't it? All those things that we knit and that we nitpick and that we get irritated with each other about. When we are focused on something together, it's hard to see anything else. You know, in your moment of generosity, when God showed up last week, there were even people in our church family who were able to benefit from your generosity. And I think sometimes we need to be reminded that there are people in our midst who are struggling. Some at the most basic of levels. And because of what we were able to do last week, you helped give people shoes. I mean, the stories are great. I wish I could tell them all. And afterwards, a youth luncheon. Oh, man, I don't know if you got the chance to go to that, but that was such a wonderful meal. But you gave, and you were able to give over $900 so that these kids' mission trip funds could be offset next year as they go to Nicaragua together. And that's just fantastic. We have our own people making buildings, making a Nicaraguan house. I mean, it was just a beautiful moment. And Wednesday night, this is what I loved about Wednesday night, is that we packed these shoes. We got them ready to go to Main Street in Nicaragua. That's a picture of the boxes. Those are a couple layers deep there. But I know it was kind of out of the ordinary, and you normally come on Wednesday night to expect to you know, do something as far as like you know, listening to a lesson or participating in a class. But I want to say thank you for participating in this, because the zip tying and the packaging and the labeling, that was sacred space here. We had some guests who came for class. You know what? They were labeling right along with the rest of us. This was sacred space here. It was a beautiful moment. What you did was good. It was good. And I'm going to say that was just a start of what God's about to do with this church. I did want to share an observation of something that happened as people were bringing up the shoes. I didn't notice it at first, but I was up here and I was, you know, taking shoes from people and putting them on the stage. And the thing that I noticed was how every pair of shoes that I got was warm. Now, people made jokes about it last week, and they said, oh, were they smelly too? You know, I want you to know, it was a weird experience. I would take them, and they were still warm. Which lets me know that these gifts were not just, it's not just a throwaway check. These gifts are personal. These gifts were an extension of you, because just a few seconds before that, your feet were in them. You were giving a part of yourself away. And what was even better is to think these shoes are going to be warm again soon. A brand new pair of feet are going to be in them. And our prayer was that God lead those feet to heaven, right? I was overwhelmed by you. I was overwhelmed by God. There was a moment whenever the tears started to kind of come, and I had to fight them down, and breathing, you know, was heavy and all that. But I want you not to underestimate the holy nature of this type of work. The Sunday morning event, the Wednesday night event, everything that we were able to do. We were doing what God wants his kids to do. And what God wants his kids to do is to focus on his family and to focus on the poor, to focus on those who don't have. When was it that we saw you a stranger? When was it that we welcomed you or naked and gave you clothing? When was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And then the king will tell them, tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. I, for one, am thankful to be a part of this church family. You know, to be a part of a family that's chosen to trust, to trust that God's going to be here, that God's going to help us, that he's going to provide for us, and that he's going to lead us and guide us, that he will be here when we ask him to be. Thank you for trusting in God that much. But for all these amazing moments, I know it's still hard to trust. It's difficult to trust. And today's the last sermon in our trust series. So we'll kind of look at this as a summary, and I'm going to give you a test at the very end, or an assignment. So be prepared. We're going to kind of summarize some of this. When I first started studying this idea of trust, I did it over a cup of coffee. I do this every time I start a series. I start over a cup of coffee, and I start to ask a lot of questions. Then I try to remind myself of why we're talking about this. Why do I need to talk about this? And I think about this particular thing for a while, and I journal. And so in my journal, I get really personal. I don't want anyone else to read it, you know. It's like my therapy with God, you know. And I thought, do I struggle with trust? And I said, no, I don't struggle. I trust God. I trust him. And so I started to write down some areas that I may struggle with trust. And wouldn't you know it, a couple of pages later, I'm finishing. And I realized, I think I may have a problem. I struggle with trust more than I had anticipated. Do you struggle to trust God with some things? I mean, I'm not alone, am I? You do struggle, don't you? And I know trusting God in some areas is easy for us. I know that. But what about in those areas where it's difficult? Whenever it seems a little illogical to trust. Do you still try to trust yourself in those areas? Do you try to manage those things on your own? Do you trust God in the simple things? Maybe it's easy for us to trust God with our life. Do you trust God with your life? You trust God with your health, your success? Do you trust God with your success even though other people are passing you by? Do you trust God with the lives and the health of your family? Your family's success. I tell you, sometimes it's easy to trust God with our life, but man, is it hard to trust him with the life of our family. I can't tell you how many times I may have been late coming home in high school and my mother telling me the exact picture of where she thought I was and what hospital I was in. I was bloody somewhere, and I realize I have that same tendency. Do we trust God with the future of our church family? Do we trust God with the future of our nation? You remember the idea of this Jewish idea of faith and trust? We talked about it a little bit. Faith was a constant in somebody's life. It was talked about. Faith talked about it in how much we have. It's emunah. Talked about it, how much we have. It's the ability to believe as if it were true. God and his love and his attention, they were a given. Hebrews 11:1 says this, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible." This type of faith, this is why it's hard to talk to people who don't believe. We have to rearrange how we talk because we can't understand someone who just doesn't believe the things we believe. It's hard. For some of us, God is a given. His creation is a given. His interaction with us, it's a given. Trust, on the other hand, it's bitachon. That is a little bit more difficult. This is how we act when we believe. It's the offspring of our faith, and it's talked about in terms of doing or not doing. You remember that? So trust is what we do when we know, when we believe. Then our faith grows, and then the more we trust, the more our faith grows along with it. Now, I believe in God. I have faith. But sometimes I struggle to trust God with my life. I remember a while back I was traveling from, it was Amarillo to Dallas, and it was a small plane. It was maybe 20 seats. I'm not going to tell you the airline, but I tell you, I'm not usually scared on airplanes. I have this routine. I'll always pray this one prayer from Psalm 31. It's, "Into thy hands I commit my spirit." Is that morbid? Okay, but I do that every time we're taking off on an airplane. And so on this particular day, it was terrifying. And I'm saying, I'm like, we're doing this, right? And there was a moment, and people do not believe me, but there's a moment I had water on my tray, and there's a moment whenever the water goes above the rim and just hovers there for a minute. I was with some people, and they were saying, hey, let's tell some jokes. And I could not let go of the armrest enough to think of any. I remember praying a lot in that moment. And I know that I struggled with trust then, right? So I was reading this story. There's a story about a big passenger plane that was going through something similar. People were terrified. I mean, they were screaming. Couples were holding hands, renewing their vows. I mean, we had older people just resigned as, hey, this is it. We had these younger families that were just holding on to their children. And this whole time, this one little girl was in her seat playing with her doll, not scared at all. And so they finally landed, and this older woman that was next to this girl across the aisle asked her, says, little girl, were you afraid? You know, because if you were, I didn't really see it. And she says, oh no, my dad's the pilot. He's taking me home. That's a girl who trusts her dad. Even when everyone around her was frightened and scared. You know what happens when people get frightened and scared? They tend to lash out. Nervous, anxious. She never once doubted, never once feared the worst. And I asked myself, do I trust God this much? Could I just trust Him? Trust that God is in control and that whatever happens, He's taking me home. So that brings me to the question, how do I trust God in the most difficult moments in my life? How do you trust God in the most difficult moments in your life? Maybe you're going through it right now. Maybe you've already been through it. Maybe for you, difficulty is a sickness, something you're going through presently. Maybe for you, it's a broken relationship. Maybe difficulty for you is rejection or the loss of a job. Maybe it's your struggle with addiction or sin, ongoing sin. When these difficulties come, how do you manage it? Do you trust that God is there with you as you suffer? A lot of times we think we've done something wrong and that's why we're suffering. But even if that's true, do you trust that God's still with you, right there, alongside of you? That He's there helping all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord? I know our knee-jerk reaction when we get irritated or angry or frightened or scared or find ourselves in a difficult situation is that we get angry, we stew, we complain, we start griping, we start causing dissension. We get to this point whenever we want the world to know that we're suffering. Does anyone care? Is anyone paying attention to me? But the question I have for myself and for you is, could you just trust that God is working it out? That He's right there? Could you live? Could you endure without fear because you've chosen to trust that God is in control and that He's taking you home? And I know for me it's hard sometimes. It's really hard. I mean, I know I'm a preacher, but there's sometimes I still think I can manage it. I got this. The Apostle Paul had gotten to a place in his life where he had come to trust God implicitly. With everything he was, and some, you know, in his letter to the Philippians, he says some things leading up to that great verse we always quote. It shows a man who's learned how to trust God with his life, and it says this: I've learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Even so, you have done well to share with me in my present difficulty. when I think of my life, I may never have to worry about living on an empty stomach. I may never have to worry about not having enough. But I wonder, at the least, could I trust God if I don't get what I want? Could I trust God if people turn against me and start talking badly about me and try to keep me from succeeding? Could I trust God if success doesn't come, if that thing I want so bad doesn't come? Could I trust him with that? Could I trust if the health I have never returns to normal? See, Paul learned the secret. It was Jesus Christ. There was even a moment when Paul encountered something really difficult in his life, and he tells his Corinthian church, who's having a lot of problems of their own, in 2 Corinthians 11, 8 and 9, he says this to them. He says, three times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me. But you know what he said to me? He said, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness, so I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Paul was suffering, but he trusted that God's grace was sufficient. You know why he trusted? Because God said it was. God said, my grace is sufficient for you. And Paul said, okay. I can't help but wonder. That church in Philippi, you know, the church he loved so much, if they didn't learn how to trust God simply by watching Paul, and not just watching him, but sharing in his troubles. You see, Paul's trust in God encouraged that church, and I can guarantee you their trust in God encouraged Paul right back. You know, for us, could we trust that God loves us and he wants the best for us, even though things may not be going like we want them to be? Could we trust God with our life and with the lives of our family, even though our family may seem to be scattering or fractured? Could we trust that God will be with us when life is awesome and abundant and when it feels like we've been deserted? Could we just trust? I wonder, as we think about how to do that, Russell talked about this a few weeks ago. I wonder if we just don't begin by turning to God, or in some of our cases, returning to God. Start there. And then maybe when we make that choice to turn to God or to return to God, we just sit and be quiet. I love the scripture from Isaiah chapter 30. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved, in quietness and in trust shall be your strength. Be quiet before God in the good and the bad. Trust that no matter what befalls you, that God will not only be there, but that he will manage it for you. Could you just trust? Today we have an opportunity to exercise this idea of trust in God again. Last week we did it with giving things away. This week we get to do it again. We get to trust him with some additional leaders for this church family. Next week, we're going to stall new elders, men who will be added to our existing group of men. And I am choosing to trust that God has had his hand in this every step of the way. I'm choosing to trust that God will continue to help our leaders and their wives grow into strong and rooted men and women of God. I am choosing to trust that God has the future of this church family in his hand. Could you do this with me? Starting tomorrow, we have an opportunity for you to participate in a daily exercise. So if you have a bulletin, just look in your bulletin. You'll see a little insert. It's right here. Where's it at? I don't know if I have it up here. Here you go. As a church family, our prayers matter. What we say matters. I'll go back to this verse. My prayer is this in Psalm 141:2. May my prayer be counted as incense before you, the lifting up of my hands as the evening offering. I want my prayers to matter, and you know what? They do. Our prayers of the church family matter. So right here, if you don't have one, I would encourage you to go get one in the back. I think we have enough for most everyone. What we have here is a prayer guide. We're asking you to keep this with you. There will be a version of this on our website as well. But I want you to take some time this week to pray. Take some time to read these scriptures and dwell on them. And there's also an option to fast each and every day as well. Now, we don't fast much in this day and age. To fast is to do without something and instead fill that space with attention and focus on God. Now, some fast to get God's attention. Some fast because they're regretful of something that they've done. They're asking forgiveness. Some fast because they want to exercise their trust in God as someone who is protecting and caring for them. So that's what we're doing. Jesus in the wilderness, he fasted. He's wanting God to know, I'm completely dependent on you. Every day is a chance for us to do without something so that we can instead focus our attention on God this week. And our prayers for this church family and from this church family will matter. So I encourage you to engage in it. Now, Friday night, we're going to be open here from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock. I know it's football, and I know a lot of people have things going on. But what I'm going to encourage you to do is, if you can, even if it's for 5, 10, 15 minutes, come and go between 6 and 9 o'clock. We're going to have someone leading a corporate prayer every half hour. We're going to have some cards up here for you to fill out if you need people to pray for you, or we'll have some that are already filled out. But we're going to ask you to come, join us, pray as long as you can, as long as you're able. And let's lift up our family, our nation, our world, our church, our leaders to God. And it's going to culminate that night. We're entering into a new chapter in this church's life. I encourage us that we need to enter it together in prayer and by choosing to trust that God is with us. So I want to begin this week by offering you a chance to pray here. Now, I want you to remember the thing you were hanging on to at the very beginning. I don't know if you've been aware of that for the last 20 minutes. We're all holding on to something. And I want you to ask yourself, is that thing you're holding on to, could you give that to God and let it go? Could you trust that God has your back? Could you trust that God wants to take that from you so that you don't have to be angry anymore? You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be scared or bitter. Could you let it go? Man, imagine leaving this room right here, right now, free of that. I'm going to give you a chance to let it go. So in a moment, I'm going to be down here, and I'm going to ask if you want to pray, come down, okay? Don't worry about what people think, okay? Just come down. If you don't have to tell me your life story, just let me pray for you. You know what? If you want, pray for me. Come down and pray for me. I need it. But I think sometimes we need to make that choice and respond. So as we sing here in a moment, Ross, let's come on up. Let's all stand. And I want us to take a moment and I want us to respond. Could you just trust?
You've been listening to Grapevine Church of Christ. Subscribe to the Sermon Podcast and to our other Grapevine Church podcast to hear special behind-the-scenes content. For more information, visit our website, www.grapevinechurch.com.